get started here. We appreciate everyone calling in. We're hoping everybody is healthy and safe and that you're all taking good care and following the guidelines that we're all trying to do while we go through this very interesting time. We're going to start and have Andrea is going to give us a few instructions and also call Ro. And so we'll turn a second over to her.
Okay, thank you. In order to keep the disruption to a minimum and have some organization to the attendance gathering, here's the proposed course. Please listen to all the instructions before taking action. In a moment, I will ask you to unmute your phones by pressing *6 on your phone keypad. Please try to mitigate any additional background noise in your surroundings. I will first read the names of those who have RSVP'd their attendance or request to be excused.
This call is now being recorded.
Oh, good. We're recording now. That's good to know. Those that have RSVP'd their attendance or request to be excused alphabetically by last name. Then I will read the council members and assigned alternates alphabetically by last name. Finally, I will announce each county and the names of our partnering agencies and ask that you volunteer your name at that time. Hopefully we can do that in an organized manner. I appreciate everyone's patience. And then to conclude, I will ask if anyone attending the call was missed, such as members of the public. After hearing your name and replying affirmatively, please press *6 again to mute yourself. Everyone, please unmute your phones now. Mayor Allen.
Here.
Mayor Harvey.
Here.
Mayor Bigelow. Carlos Braceras.
Present.
Ari Bruning.
Here. You.
Here.
Senator Buxton.
Here.
Mayor Caldwell.
Here.
Carlton Christensen. Evan Curtis.
Here.
Mayor Dolly.
Here.
Commissioner Harvey.
Commissioner Harvey present.
Commissioner Jenkins.
Commissioner Jenkins present.
Commissioner Kamalu.
I am here. Thank you.
Commissioner Milne. Mayor Ramsey.
I'm here.
Commissioner Scott.
I'm here.
Mayor Shepherd.
Present.
Mayor Silvestrini.
I'm here.
Commissioner Stevenson.
Here.
Mayor Timothy. Mayor Walker. Council Member Clint Smith. Mayor Adams.
Mayor Adams here.
Mayor Schoblum.
Here.
Trustee Holbrook.
Here.
Let's see. Mayor Hale. Steve Call.
Here.
Jeannie and Justin from Penna Powers.
Jeannie here.
Council Member Cannon. Council Member Jensen. And Tina, I think I heard you, right? Okay, and Mayors Mendenhall and Wilson asked to be excused, as well as Representative Schultz. If I have called your name, please mute your phone. That was the people that RSVP'd and the council members and assigned alternates. So now, anyone else from Box Elder County?
This is Carlton Christensen with UTA.
Oh, great. Thank you, Carlton. Anyone else from Davis County?
Jay Scott with Kaysville.
Hello, Mr. Scott. Thank you. And? Someone else?
This is Mayor Harvey. I didn't know if I was muted or not. Did you get my name?
I did. Thank you, Mayor. Let's see. Was that everyone from Davis County?
Did you get Joy Petro?
No, thank you, Mayor Petro. Okay. Weber County attendees?
I heard Commissioner Harvey and Commissioner Jenkins are present.
Thank you. Tooele County attendees?
Mayor Wynn, Tooele City.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Let's see. Salt Lake County representatives? Okay. Morgan County? Great. Let's see, UTA, besides Carlton and Beth, okay. UDOT representatives besides Carlos? Okay. Envision Utah reps besides Ari? FHWA reps besides Steve? Anyone from the FTA? How about the chamber? Salt Lake Chamber or any of the chambers? ULCT? RRJ? Okay. Is there anyone else from that I've missed? And are there any members of the public in attendance?
Russell Weeks, Salt Lake City Council staff.
Thank you, Russell. Anyone else? Okay, everyone.
So I know Sean Milne, Commissioner Milne, are you on? Sean, Commissioner Milne is texting me. He may be having. So you have to star 6 to mute and unmute. So if you haven't announced yourself, please do so now.
Dirk Tennessee's on. Hello? Hello?
Got you? Okay, Milne, gotcha.
Okay, copy that. Thanks, bye.
Okay.
Okay, if there isn't anyone else, we'll start moving through our agenda.
Please mute your phone.
Please, we would appreciate if you mute your phone, and then if yours...
Thanks, Mayor.
If there's anything you need to add, please unmute and talk to us. So, okay, we're going to move down now to our consent items on the consent agenda. The first item is the minutes from our previous meeting held on January 23rd. I will, for simplicity, make a motion that we approve the minutes as written on January 23rd. If there's anyone that has any changes to it, if you'll let us know. If not, I would look for a second.
Timothy.
Okay.
Thanks, Mayor Timothy.
We appreciate that. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Aye. Okay, that is unanimous. We'll move now down to the financial statements and check register for December 19 and also January 2020, and plus our current budget expenditure. I believe that is in your packet. Has there been any concerns or anything that anyone would have a question on that?
If not, I'll make a motion that we approve the financial statements as was presented to us, along with the check register and also the current budget expenditure report. I'll look for a second on that.
Mayor Shepherd,
okay, we got a second for Mayor Shepherd. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that is unanimous. We appreciate it. We'll now move down to item two, which is our chair's report. We do have one action item, which is the policy for our electronic meetings, and I will turn that over to Andrew if you want to cover that for 1 second.
Okay, sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and everybody. I want to just very briefly start out by expressing appreciation to all of you for participating on this conversation with us. And much more importantly, I want to express appreciation for all of the incredible work and dedication that you all are putting in for your communities at this unprecedented and challenging time. I have observed just a remarkable level of effort and coordination that's happening among the public officials here, and I just want to thank you so much for everything that you're doing. In a way, some of the stuff we'll talk about today through WFRC may seem somewhat incongruous, because some of it is looking ahead to the future, and I know most of you are focused very intently on what's going on right now, and that's very appropriate, but we want to make sure that the work of the agency moves forward in planning for the future, so that when this situation does resolve, which it will eventually, we can be in as strong a position to move forward as possible. I also want to note that we do have many of the members of the WFRC staff on the line right now. We didn't have them introduce themselves, but through the meeting there may be certain points that we're going to call on them to briefly present on some items. There are two action items that we have right now as part of this chair's report. Both of them relate to the coronavirus and allowing us to function in this virtual environment. The first one is a policy for electronic meetings. As I think you all know by now, the governor issued an executive order allowing agencies to have electronic meetings and waive certain requirements of the Open Meetings Act, like having an anchor location. But you also have to have an underlying policy for electronic meetings, which we did not have. Therefore, in your packet, there is a policy on electronic meetings. Requests would come in to me. I would get approval from the chair or from the chair of the committee. Of course, we would still do public notice and opportunities for participation. So, Mr. Chair, unless there's any questions, we'd love to get approval of the electronic meetings policy.
Do we want to cover the bylaw real quick, too?
If I can, I'm going to take that separately, okay. Those ones okay. Separately.
I will make a motion that we approve the policy for electronic meetings. Can I get a second?
From anyone.
Second from Randy.
Okay. Mayor Lewis gave us a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you. We'll now move to item B, which is the revised bylaws.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This is also related to coronavirus, and there's actually three separate components here: amendments to our bylaws, our accounting and administrative policy, and our personnel policy. We're proposing taking all of them as one action. The bylaws change is simple. Allow us to change the word signatures to authorizations in the way we expend our funds, because we want to be able to disperse funds electronically, not just by check. That's the bylaws revision. The accounting and administrative policy also would have a modification to authorize vendor payments electronically, not just by check, but of course we maintain the same level of documentation, review, and approval. And then finally, for our personnel policy, while it's our intention and our staff is working really hard remotely, we of course recognize that there are times, due to circumstances beyond our control, when our employees would not otherwise be able to work, like in our earthquake, or a giant snowstorm, or certain elements of a pandemic. And we need to have a policy that authorizes a category of administrative or emergency leave so that we can submit that time to the federal government and still get reimbursement. This is consistent with federal law and regulation, it would just allow us to use some discretion in utilizing that administrative time. Mr. Chair, we'd be happy to answer any questions, but we'd recommend those three modifications be taken as one action.
Okay, I'll check. Does anyone have any questions on this? If not, I'll make a motion that we approve the revised Wasatch Front bylaws dealing with the county administrative policy and personnel. Mayor Adams, can you give us a second on that?
Yes, I'll second that motion.
Okay, thanks, Mitch. Appreciate that. Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. That's unanimous. Thank you. We'll now move down to our public comment portion. Again, if there's anyone that would like to make a public comment on this, we'd appreciate you keeping it to 3 minutes, and we need you to state your name and address for our record. Okay, gather there's no one there on that, so we'll move down to now item 4, Regional Growth Committee, which we'll turn it over to Mayor Ramsey. One thing that we'll do is that Mayor Ramsey will make a motion. If there are no questions, I'll second it for the ease of it, and then we'll take a vote on it. So, Mayor Don, go for it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The Regional Growth Committee had a call very similar to this last week, and we have two items for the council to consider today. The Wasatch Choice Regional Vision Implementation. This item builds on the great conversations that we've had already about ways that we all might be better able to address our growth challenges, such as local community concerns about housing and transportation issues. WFRC and its partners are providing resources for our communities as we try to deal with this growth and work to implement our Wasatch Choice Regional Vision. I'm going to ask Ted to give us a little bit more information on that. Ted, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Mayor. Thanks so much. And good afternoon, everybody. As the mayor mentioned, the council has asked staff to begin working on resources that can help us all as we have conversations about how to accommodate growth in each of our cities and to how we can implement our individual visions and the Wasatch Choice 2050 vision. This is also consistent with feedback that we got from communities across the region last fall in Wasatch Choice workshops. We posed the question, what are the key challenges that you are confronting as you seek to implement your vision? And one of the top two items was community concerns, the other being the availability of funding. So we have begun engaging with our partners, as the mayor mentioned, the Wasatch Choice partners, which include the League of Cities and Towns and Vision Utah, our transportation partners, UDOT, UTA, and Mountain Land Association of Governments, and many others, in exploring resources that would be helpful. The idea here, we will develop these concepts with partners and then bring them to the Regional Growth Committee and have the Regional Growth Committee guide that work. And of course, we would provide updates to council on each meeting. Here is the way that we are organizing this work. We are focusing on four potential categories of resources that help communities as they have these challenging conversations about how to address growth through planning, general planning, and updating their general plans and the like. These categories are, first of all, let's continue the outstanding transportation and land use connection program. Let's work as well. There's new funds that UDOT is utilizing called the Technical Planning Assistance Program. Let's keep working in that space to provide technical assistance to local governments. That's category one. A second category, public engagement. Are there resources to help communities more easily reach out to many, many more citizens and stakeholders to really get a sense of where a community stands on a growth issue. And that as they do that, as we all reach out to the residents, that we help give them information on the trade-offs that are present. Sometimes a major development might bring more traffic congestion to local streets, but it means that growth is utilizing existing streets, and we are helping with housing affordability as an example. So that's a public engagement set of perhaps a resource there. A third category, the third of four, is communications. Would videos be helpful? Would other communication pieces that help explain regional quality of life issues and dynamics be useful for us all as we engage in these conversations? And then the fourth category being additional information and analytics. Would it be helpful for communities to be able to talk about, let's say, for example, the fiscal impact, the housing affordability impact, the air quality impact of one potential solution to addressing growth versus another? Better information as well. So those are those four categories: technical assistance, public engagement, communications, and information and analysis. So those are the things that we're exploring again with our partners. I do also want to note we will be working with your planners in the Regional Growth Committee TAC, Technical Advisory Committee, in this conversation. Again, we will be working with the Regional Growth Committee to get to give staff direction on where we go. The idea is that we would launch these additional resources in this fall. And Mayor Ramsey, that concludes my presentation on this item.
Okay. Ted, thank you. I appreciate that. I really do think that these four different options are going to be helpful to all of us as we try to help our communities navigate growth in the future, so thank you for that. The next thing that we have, Mr. Chair, is an action item, and it's modification to the Regional Transportation Plan amendment process. So the Regional Transportation Plan, as you all know, is adopted by WFRC every 4 years. We just did it last year in 2019. The plan includes all of the regionally significant transportation projects for the state and local roads and transit, active transportation between now and 2050. Periodically, amendments are needed to keep the plan current, as we all understand that unexpected things happen and growth is happening significantly in some places more than others, and it doesn't always go according to what we projected. So sometimes we need to amend the plan to keep it current and to address emerging opportunities or issues. And so the staff at WFRC has been working to streamline the amendment process while ensuring a high level of technical review still takes place. I believe Jory is on the line. If Jory's there, I'm going to ask him to explain a little bit about the proposed changes to the amendment process to help us kind of streamline that.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm here. Hope everybody is doing well out there and keeping your family safe. Today, I'd like to propose modifications to the Regional Transportation Plan amendment process and ask for a motion from the Regional Council to approve these modifications. We've discussed the existing process and initial proposed modifications at the January Regional Growth Committee, and I've also discussed it with the Technical Advisory Committee to the Regional Growth Committee, UDOT, UTA, and Federal Highways. We have incorporated the comments into the draft proposal. Last week, the Regional Growth Committee made a motion recommending the Regional Council approve these modifications. You have in your packet the detailed draft process, timeline, amendment categories, and technical considerations. I'm not planning to walk through all these in detail, but we'll provide a brief summary. It should be noted that we have three different categories of amendments based on their level of significance, and each level has a slightly different process. We're not looking to make the changes to the process for amendments related to the most important level, regionally significant projects, the level three category, which requires the determination of air quality conformity and a 30-day public comment period. We're proposing changes to the process for making level two amendments to allow the RGC to approve and amend at the RGC meeting allow for public comment at the same meeting, and allow for some of the less significant projects to fall into this category. These changes to Level 2 amendments would streamline the process with less burden on the regional communities and the transportation partners. Level 1 changes include adding smaller type projects, roughly under a $10 million for roads and $5 million for transit, corridor preservation, and individual active transportation projects. Under the current policy, these relatively minor Level 1 amendments are made by WFRC staff, but we are proposing that going forward, these amendments would require consultation with the chair and vice chair of the Regional Growth Committee. In summary, these proposed modifications for Level 1 and Level 2 amendments streamline the process while maintaining the rigor of the review, both enhance the role of the Regional Growth Committee. As mentioned before, today we're looking for an approval from the Regional Growth, from the Regional Council, the proposed revisions to the RTP amendment process. Mayor Ramsey, that concludes my explanation, but would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jory. Really, I hope everyone understands the goal of this really is to try to streamline it and make it less cumbersome, to make it easier to amend the plan as needed and still have the approval process go through everyone that it needs to go through, and everyone has the chance to still give their input on whether they think that's a wise change or not. I'm going to ask if there's any questions for Jory at this point. Okay.
Mayor, this is yeah. Andrew. I just want to note that the Regional Growth Committee Vice Chair, Tina Cannon, is on the phone right now. She tried to announce herself before, so Council Member Cannon, just wanted to acknowledge your presence in the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. If there isn't any other questions, then I'm going to make a motion, Mr. Chair, to approve the modified Regional Transportation Plan amendment process.
Okay, and I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that is unanimous. Thank you. Appreciate that, Mayor. We'll now move down to Commissioner Jeff Scott, who will talk to us about the TransCom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a couple of items on the agenda today. One of those is a report on board modifications were made to the 2025 Transportation Improvement Program TIP. These were done at our TransCom meeting on February 20th, and this is for information only. We did approve those at the TransCom level in February. Modifications sent out in your pack over to Ben to answer questions. If he has any questions on those modifications, otherwise we can move on to the ones that have been proposed for today.
Any questions? Okay, let's move on to the next.
Okay, a couple of them. And we'll turn the time over to Ben to talk about our modifications that are anticipated today.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to preference my report by thanking each of you and all your staffs for all the sacrifices you're making to safeguard and maintain our cities and communities. Thank you for all you're doing. Since the TransCom met in February, WFRC has received a request to amend the 2025 Transportation Improvement Program. Included in your meeting materials, you will have a copy of a resolution number 5. And attached to that resolution will be a table with two projects that make up this board modification. The first project is the grit mill project. This project is located on the east side of Salt Lake Valley in the Little Cottonwood Canyon. The objective of this project is to construct a 34-stall parking lot, a restroom facility, and improve road conditions on SR 210, which is the road that runs up the canyon, and also the intersection at Wasatch Resort Road, including a center two-way left turn lane on SR 210. In addition to the project improvements, safety benefits will be improved by removing the cars that park along the roadway to access the trail facilities, thereby increasing the sight distance for the canyon traffic and motorists that enter or exit from the Wasatch Resort Road. The project will also provide better access and egress for traffic entering or exiting SR-210. This request is for additional funding identified during the final design and also due to increased construction costs. The additional $300,000 in the funding is available from other projects, the other project cost savings in the WFRC Transportation Alternative Program, or the TAP funds, the Salt County, as well as the Utah Outdoor Recreational Grant awarded to the Greater Salt Lake Municipal Service District. The estimated project cost for this project is $1,013,008. The second project is an intersection project located at 2000 West and 1300 North. This project is located in the northwestern portion of Davis County in Clinton City. Currently, the intersection has one lane coming from the east and one lane from the west, so all the traffic movements are combined. The original project consisted of improving the intersection by adding a dedicated left turn lane and a combined straight and or through lane and a right turn lane on the east and the west legs of 1300 North. However, during the design, it was determined that the current traffic volumes and the traffic patterns warranted that both the east leg and the west leg of 1300 North needed a dedicated right turn lane as well as the dedicated left turn lane. The widening for these additional lanes would require additional right-of-way for the lanes and for the extended lengths of the roadway to accommodate the transition of the turning lanes on both the east and the west legs of the intersection. The original project improvements also included bike lanes, curb, gutter, and sidewalk to be built so that the project will tie into the future improvements on 2000 West to be constructed by UDOT within the next couple of years. Other items identified during the design included a 24-inch pressurized irrigation line in the center of 1300 North, only 30 inches below the surface. This would make it impossible to run pipes across 1300 North between inlet boxes for storm drains. This conflict would require the installation of new storm drain lines to be run from 2000 West to the east and from 2000 West to the west to eliminate the need to cross 1300 North. The original project was scoped, was estimated at $590,600, but the new cost estimate is over $1.3 million, leaving a project shortfall of over $761,000. The city is requesting a change in the project scope to include the additional turn lanes, any associated work, and an additional $449,384 in the CMAQ funds. This will bring the total of CMAQ funds for this project to $1 million and the total of local government funds to this project at $351,500. The additional CMAQ funds are available for this project from other project cost savings, and the additional local government funds are from other city resources. This project cost is $1,351,500. Commissioner, that includes all the information for the board modification.
Very good. Very good, Ben. Thank you for the update on that. Does anybody have any questions on any of these modifications? If not, Mr. Chair, I would make a motion that the Regional Council approve the resolution to modify the 2025 Transportation Improvement Program as outlined.
I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
All ayes.
Okay, that's unanimous. We'll now move down to item C.
Can I, Commissioner Scott, this is Andrew, can I interject just for a moment, please? I was thinking with Ben talking about construction projects, it might be interesting, and if I could maybe put Carlos on the spot here for a moment, it'd be interesting to get a little perspective on what impacts we're anticipating at this point, if any, from what's happening with the coronavirus situation and the continuation or potential interruption in the construction season and all the projects that we have moving forward at this point. Carlos, can I put you on the spot to maybe comment on that for a moment?
Yeah, I think I unmuted myself. Hello, this is Carlos from UDOT. Yes, Andrew, we've had a lot of questions on this, and the bottom line is that all projects that are currently under construction are proceeding full speed ahead. Our contractors have communicated clearly to us that they are comfortable and want to continue with construction. With the decrease in traffic, we're seeing about a 30 to 40% drop in traffic on our major routes. We're providing a little extra construction time in terms of when we allow them to do work out on the road, so hopefully trying to speed up some construction if possible. And we do not plan to slow down or delay any construction lettings as we move forward. Now, the one thing we know is, and I'm sure you're all aware, is everything seems to change day to day, but very clear direction from Governor Herbert that we want to make sure that we can continue the business operation while we protect all of our employees and the public during this event. So we've got about a little over 700 of our employees right now teleworking with the clear direction that all their projects keep on schedule, and about another 1,200, 1,300 folks that don't work on computers that are out working in the field. So we do not plan to delay projects, and we are not planning to shut down any projects in construction.
Jeff. Great. Thanks, Carlos.
We appreciate that, Carlos. Okay, Jeff?
No, thanks for interjecting. We've had some of the similar questions up here. We've received the same information, not just on road projects, but on construction projects in general. Most are finding it's a great time to work, so thank you. The last item on here is 5C. These are the obligations of federal transportation funds during fiscal year 2019. Again, this is for information only. We received a report last month in Transcom about the annual report on the use of approximately $600 million in federal funds for road and transit projects in our region. And so it is included in your report. If anybody does have any questions, Ben could go ahead and cover those at this time.
Are there any questions? If not, thank you. We appreciate it. We'll now move down to item six, which is the Budget Committee. Sean, we'll turn a few minutes over to you.
Copy that. I think I understood what you implied there. Am I able to be heard since I had technical difficulties early on? Am I good now?
Yes.
Yes, you're good.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. I'll make this quick. So you have before you and in the packet a release of the, well, the action item is to release for review and public comment the draft fiscal year 21 WFRC goals, budget, and unified planning work program. The budget committee met earlier this month before that sort of thing was banned, and we had a very robust discussion. I thought it was very helpful, and Lovett was there to address all the questions that we had. So again, reiterating, you've got in your packet the information before you. These materials were prepared by staff in coordination with the budget committee, and the budget committee is recommending that the council approve releasing the draft fiscal year 21 goals, budget, and unified planning work program for public comment. An updated version of these materials will be prepared and presented to the council at our meeting on May 28th for final approval. At this time, I'm going to turn the attention back to Andrew, who will give a brief overview of those materials. Andrew?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much, Commissioner. I do want to note, as Commissioner Milne said, the Budget Committee has been through these materials in detail with the assistance of our staff and Lovett Baumgartner, our CFO. There's a lot of detail and specificity in the materials that have been sent out to you, because of course the annual budget is a very important item for the staff and the council to consider. But given the review that's happened already, I am going to be brief here and provide a high level overview, and then would welcome any questions or comments. As noted again, there's three components to this, all for our fiscal year 21. There are goals for the agency as an organization, there's the budget, and then there's the Unified Planning Work Program, which provides the details on all of our activities. For the goals, in the materials, they list out four goals, and there's a two-page detailed explanation of them. I'm going to read them briefly just for those of you that don't have the materials in front of you. Goal number one, collaboratively advance the Wasatch Choice regional vision as a framework for integrating transportation, land use, and economic development to best address growth-related opportunities and challenges. This is a lot of the, this goal relates to what Mayor Ramsey and Ted were talking about before, addressing proactively growth challenges in a way that works best for your individual communities and providing assistance to you in collaboration with our partners as you do that. That's goal number one. Goal number two is effectively administer ongoing plans and programs. Goal number three, provide subject matter expertise to federal, state, and local officials and policymakers. On this goal three, I'll note the important activity at the federal level of the need to reauthorize the federal transportation funding and program in the upcoming year. That's something that we, along with our partners, will be working on. And then goal number four, strive for organizational excellence. I'd like to note, of course, that these goals for FY21 that are proposed to you are, not surprisingly, similar to our FY20 goals, and that reflects the continuity in our organizational mission and our roles and the fact that most of our activities are ongoing and span multiple years. I'm going to pause briefly before moving on to the budget, just to see if anybody jumps in with any questions or comments. But our intention here, again, is to have one action on all three of these items together. The next item is the budget. I will note to you that there are no major changes proposed to the WFRC budget for fiscal year 21 compared to fiscal 20. As usual, the major expenditure in our budget is for our staff salary and benefits for our awesome WFRC team to maintain our current full-time staff. Consistent with our past practice, the budget does include an overall increase in that personnel line item of 5%. That functions as a cap on salary adjustments and benefit cost increases, including group health insurance, but it does not mean that there is a requirement to utilize all 5%. I also want to note that that line item does show an increase from 20 to 21 beyond that 5% from our anticipated spending in 20 to our budgeted item line item in 21, because we had some vacancies that were budgeted in 20 but that were not filled for the full year, so our spending is anticipated to come in a little lower. The next major expenditure in our budget is for consulting contracts. We rely on the expertise of folks in our consulting community. And I also want to particularly note that there is actually a significant increase in our consulting line item from FY19 to 20 and then into 21. And that reflects the work in our Transportation and Land Use Connection Program, or TLC. That's our joint program where we provide assistance to you, to our communities, with joint funding provided through WFRC, UDOT, UTA, and Salt Lake County. The expansion of that program was planned and budgeted and paid for with specific new funding. But there is a lag in the award and expenditure of those projects, again, anticipated. And so that reflects a significant ramp up in that line item for contractual expenditures from 19 to 20 to 21. On the revenue side, federal funds continue to be our main source of revenue. And we have a basic expectation of flat revenues, although into 21 a very modest increase. We also get contributions from our counties, thank you. And as per our policy, those contributions will go up by 2.1%, which reflects a retroactive 3-year rolling average of the CPI. Again, there's a lot more detail on all of this in your packets, but Commissioner Milne, unless there's any questions, I'll conclude there. Oh, I should say also, sorry, the final item in here is the Unified Planning Work Program, which is more detail on our activities, so I'm not going to go into detail on it right now. If Lovett or Wayne or any of our team feel that I missed something important, I will ask them to jump in here, but otherwise it's our recommendation, consistent with the Budget Committee recommendation, that the Council approve for release for public review the goals, budget, and work program for FY21 with final action to be taken at the May Council meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you'd like to call if there's any questions or comments from the membership first before I make a motion.
Sure. Is there anyone that would have any questions on what Andrew has just presented to us and what's in your packet? If not, Sean, I'll look to you for a motion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I make that motion. I move that the Council release the draft of the fiscal year 21 WFRC goals, budget, and the Unified Planning Work Program for the review and public comment.
I'll second that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous. We appreciate it, Sean. Andrew, appreciate your hard work on that and moving us forward on that budget. We'll now move down to our reports. Our first report will be by Mayor Joe, who will talk to us real quickly about the active transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Active Transportation Committee, often described as the most important branch of the Wasatch Front Regional Council, is proud to report that we have updated and adopted our goals for the year 2020. They are as follows. Goal number one, plan. Continue adoption and refinement of active transportation plans that coordinate local and regional plans. Goal number two, build. Fund and construct priority projects, A, through shared awareness of and advocacy for funding opportunities, B, through agency partnering, C, that incorporate ADA accessible design. Goal number three, educate. Increase support for active transportation through A, choosing to bike and walk and inviting others to do the same, B, sharing successes, and C, highlighting economic and health benefits. Goal number four, coordinate. Collaborate on policy issues including A, micromobility adoption, B, facility maintenance, C, regional wayfinding, and D, facility design best practices. We'd also like to remind you that May is Bike Month. Unfortunately, the Golden Spoke has been postponed until fall, and South Weaver Elementary's Bike to School with the Mayor Day has been canceled. While we regret the loss in May of these two awesome activities, we would like to stress the importance of getting out and exploring the trails. We need sunshine, fresh air, and exercise more than ever. Just please be cognizant of your proximity to other outdoor enthusiasts. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mayor Joe. Appreciate it. I'm sure you're standing there with your bike and your bike helmet on at this time. Is that correct?
That I am, yes.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay, well, now move down to Christy from the staff to talk to us about the CDBG awards.
Thank you, Chair. So as mentioned, I'm Christy Dahlberg. I administer the Community Development Block Grant Small Cities Program for the Wasatch Front. In response to the Federal Housing and Urban Development Division's request for increased awareness and transparency in the expenditure of Utah's CDBG Small City Funds, WFRC is bringing the 2020 CDBG awards to the Wasatch Front Regional Council for their information. WFRC administers the Community Development Block Grant Small Cities Program for Morgan, Willa, and Weber counties, excluding Ogden City. The program provides funding to local governments to meet the needs of low to moderate income residents. Eligible activities include capital infrastructure projects such as road, water, and sewer projects, affordable housing projects, including property acquisition, housing rehab, and renter homebuyer assistance programs, and special service projects, including domestic violence shelters, senior centers, and Meals on Wheels. the WFRC CDBG Regional Rating and Ranking Committee, which is made up of local officials and staff from Morgan, Tooele, and Weber counties, met and made the following CDBG awards for 2020. Please see the table on your packet materials under item 7B. Awarded projects are shown on the table below. And additional information can be found on the WFRC website under the History of Recipients tab on the Community Development Block Grant Program page. If you'd like any more information, feel free to contact me. My contact information is also on the page.
Hey, Christy, will you please just say the cities that received awards through CDBG this year, please?
Absolutely. Washington Terrace, Wendover City, South Ogden, and Uinta City, as well as the remaining funds for a multi-year project to Marriott Slaterville.
Okay. Thanks, Christy.
Thank you, Christy. Does anyone have any questions for Christy on this? If not, we'll move down to our next item with our legislative star, Lanice. Will talk to us about a quick little legislative debrief.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the Wasatch Front Regional Council tracked about 50 bills this session. I'm going to highlight just two of them today, the Transportation Bill, Senate Bill 150, sponsored by Senator Wayne Harper, and the Housing Bill, Senate Bill 39, sponsored by Senator Jake Andrick. So on the first bill, SB 150, it passed both houses with unanimous support. SB 150 was a focus for WFRC and supported by many organizations, including the League, the Chamber, the Salt Lake Chamber, the Utah Association of Counties, and Hill, Utah. Let me highlight four provisions of SB 150. One, it eliminates the cap on UTA transit-oriented development, or TOD sites, which now allows an opportunity for more municipalities to partner with UTA in future TOD development. Two, it ties the moderate income housing element of general plans and new station area planning requirements to TOD sites. Three, it allows Utah's State Transportation Commission to give priority consideration to projects that are part of a TOD and projects that are part of a TRZ or a transportation reinvestment zone. And finally, in just over a year, so no later than June 1st of 2021, UDOT needs to identify how to expand the Road Usage Charge Program, or RUC program, to enroll all of Utah's registered vehicles by the end of 2031. So moving on to the housing bill, SB 39 narrowly passed both houses, even though it was supported by many, many organizations, including WFRC, the League, UAC, Sully Chamber, Utah Housing Coalition, and others.
Just us here.
SB 39 focuses on funding the development and preservation of affordable housing units by appropriating $10 million in one-time funding to the Aline Walker Housing Loan Fund through the Department of Workforce Services, with up to $5 million for private activity bond gap financing, and up to $5 million to match private investment to preserve existing low-income housing units. But speaking of private investment to preserve existing low-income housing, a brand new program was announced earlier this month, led by the private sector, and it targets housing preservation created by the Ivory Foundation, IHC, Zions Bank, and the Utah Nonprofit Housing Corporation. These companies have all committed an initial $20 million and then hope to grow the fund to $100 million plus by the end of the year in order to preserve Utah's most affordable housing units for critical members of Utah's workforce. So both of these bills and many, many others, all about just over 500 bills, are on the governor's desk awaiting signature as we speak. Of note, there was no new bonding authorized. All of the bills that WFRC tracked are summarized in our bill tracker that's available on the governmental affairs page of our website. So please take a look and let us know if you have any questions or if you would like more information. Always happy to have a conversation with any one of you. Finally, thank you all for your leadership. We are immensely grateful and thankful for everything you do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That completes my presentation today.
Hey, thank you, Lanice. And I want to thank you for all of us, because, you know, the yogurt and berries on Friday morning or Thursday mornings was absolutely wonderful this year during that session. So keep up the good work on that next year. So, we'll now move down to our executive director's report. Andrew, before I turn the time over to him, you know, we've all kind of been stuck in our offices or wherever, and I want you to know I spent a couple of days going through the past minutes over 51 years, and if Andrew can get through in 93 seconds we will set a brand new record for the shortest meeting we have ever had. So, Andrew, you've got a little pressure on you. You got 93 seconds.
I can easily do 93 seconds, but I'm going to cede most of that time to Carlton Christensen because I want to give him an opportunity to make a brief update about what's going on with UTA service. So in the maybe 20 seconds I've got of that time, I'm going to just make one comment following on what Lanice said, which is about the fact that there was a lot of talk about transportation bonding being authorized and earmarking of projects. That did not happen. In my view, that is in part a reflection of the confidence for the good work that UDOT has led, that the metropolitan planning organizations like WFRC have partnered in enhancing the prioritization of available funding. It's a really good process. There's opportunity for engagement with all of the local governments. And if anybody has any questions about that, we and the folks at UDOT would be happy to work with you. I'm going to now turn to Carlton. Carlton, are you you still there? And would you be able to just take a minute and tell us how do things stand with UDOT? With UTA and your service now, given the circumstances.
Sure. Thank you, Andrew. Not too surprisingly, like many transit agencies across the country, we've been hit pretty hard as people have kind of stayed in place, not gone to work, or large institutions have shut down. But just to give you a quick sense, bus ridership is down 56%. It surprisingly is higher than you might have thought, but front runner ridership is down 75, tracks down 60. And our paratransit is down 75%. There is some potential help for us in the federal aid package that is forthcoming, but we know that and the FTA expects us to make some temporary modifications to our service. So Friday or tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in a board meeting, we're gonna make some temporary modifications to that service. We're gonna try to we know we're an essential service, keep a core service in place, but we will have to reduce some of our service for a short period of time.
Thank you very much, Carlton, for everything that you're doing. Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back to you, noting that it is still 2:58, so we're under our 1 hour, and my last thing, I'll say what I said at the very beginning, which is thank you so much to everybody for the incredible work that you're doing. I know how hard you're working right now, and we really deeply appreciate it. Mr. Chair?
Yeah, thank you, Andrew, and appreciate everybody taking the time to come to this virtual meeting today. And again, just echo for all of us, you know, stay safe, stay healthy, and let's see if we can get through this over the next few more weeks and be able to get back to life. And we look forward to seeing you on May 28th. And Andrew says there'll be double servings of sugar cookies to make up for what we didn't have today. So with that, thank you again, and we'll talk to you later.
So make a motion to
adjourn. We need a motion to adjourn. I make a motion to adjourn.
Second, Mayor Caldwell.
Okay, thank you. Move to second, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. We're out of here. Appreciate you.